We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
I think that can be a warning sign for other things. Like if you can't have the conversation about sex, if they're being defensive about it and the ego is getting in the way and it continues on, like they don't have a self-awareness or self-reflection to like apologize later and say, look, that got really heated. I'm just really insecure. Let's try this conversation one more time. I think that that could be a sign of, you know, maybe this person's not really ready for an adult relationship.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie Jackson, back with my co-host,
Erica Spira.
Hello, hello. We have a super exciting episode today, welcoming back a fan favorite guest, Matchmaker Maria.
Yes, had a lot of fun recording with Matchmaker Maria, touched on some different topics than the first time she was on the show, which was, I think, maybe a year and a half ago,
about. Yeah,
it was when Work was still hosting.
Yeah.
So anyway, always have a good time talking to her. And I know you guys are going to enjoy the episode with Maria, as always. But first, we got updates. So what's new?
First, we got updates. Well, before even that, something is new with you that you tried from our friends at Sunset Lake.
Oh, I did. I got the new Delta 9 gummies to try.
And?
They sent me some. I tried them with my roommate. We had a nice little night. Because what I like about their products, okay, even though I'm not a high anxiety gal, is even their THC products have a good amount of CBD as well.
Yeah.
So you are the type that have tried some type of THC something in the past, and you were like, ooh, maybe anxious, I didn't like it. This might be the perfect product for you to maybe retry stepping into the THC world, is what I will say. Because my roommate's an anxious gal, so she's a big user of Sunset Lake CBD overall, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We're always sharing stuff that they send me. She loves it. And I think it's kind of a perfect entryway, if you will, because also you could have a little bit of it. You could just try a little bit of it if you'd like, have a half, you know, but it's a very low amount.
That makes sense. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, it's good. Any of my anxious friends, they need to do an edible that also has CBD in it.
Yeah. So I've never taken an edible before with THC.
Right. Yeah. You're not a weed gal, are you, in general?
I'm not. But when you say it like that because I have them too, they sent them to me too. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But what you're saying about the CBD in it makes a lot of sense. Maybe this is the thing for me to try.
Yeah. I'd say take a half, honestly. That's what I would say. But they work. They're good. They also taste delicious, which is dangerous because you
Oh yeah. Watermelon remember. Flavor, right?
Yeah. Really good. But you have to obviously remember and be careful because you have one and you almost think like, I'll have another. And it's like, oh no,
they're not candy.
Another of these. Not another of these. Another of something else, maybe. Have some snacks nearby, you know? But yeah, very affordable. The fact that it could ship right to you, except if you're in Vermont, which is so ironic. That's where it's made. But it's fresh, very affordable. Highly recommend. I mean, I love their products all around, so I wasn't surprised, but I'm excited they've expanded their line. So
yeah, I'm excited for them and for everybody else to get to try. And reminder, you can use our code as many times as you want. FMH20. It gets you 20% off the whole website, sunsetlakecbd.com.
Yes. Go try it if you haven't already. Do it. Anyway, back to dating things.
Back
you have a lot to share.
I do. So quick touch in, no update yet, but quick touch in on the guy that I met in real life at the volleyball tournament last week.
Oh, yes. Flirty. Yeah. Didn't he invite you or is he inviting you to do another tournament or what's like the communication status?
We're playing in another tournament, not on the same team again, but like we're both going to be at another one of these tournaments this upcoming weekend. Yeah. And I've decided because he's young. And I've decided to call him Montana Boy.
Oh, after the Kristen Cavallari. Montana Boys. With a Z. Yeah. Montana Boys. That's a fun nickname. Boys. We should at least say he's not 23 years old. Can we throw that in there?
No, he's not. He's not 23.
Let's not all speculate. It's not a 23-year-old.
It's not a 23-year-old.
He's on the young side.
He is in his 20s, but he is not 23. Yeah. And so we've been like texting a little bit here and there, like a little flirty. You know, we established that we were both going to be at this tournament. So more to come next week. And the Patreon gang will hear about this probably immediately after it happens. So yeah. More to come on the updates on Montana Boy.
All right.
But he does have a nickname.
We got an iron in the fire already from In Real Life, from our hot tips.
In Real Life iron. Yeah. Coming out of last week. But the like in more, I suppose, serious dating news.
As we get into it, Maria, the dating intentionally side versus ho-face side.
Yes.
Which you can do both. You can be doing both. All right. Let's say it. We could be doing both.
We learned that later in this episode, you will hear us learn that you can do both. So Montana Boy is my ho-face and new guy who we are going to call. So backing up a second. So I went on this first date with this guy. The Patreon heard about it like literally the next day we happened to record. And we set a poll in motion on the Patreon, in the comments, in the Discord. What should we nickname this man?
Yeah, I like getting everybody involved, you know?
It was fun.
I think it's fun. Fun to hear some of these suggestions.
It was really fun. And so what we've settled on is Mr. Worldwide.
I love it. My family's a big Pitbull family, so we love it. Mr. Worldwide! It's so fun to say.
I love it.
And it's not because of Pitbull, but just, you know, it works out.
It's not because of Pitbull. It's because he travels a lot, like, for work, is on traveling internationally for work pretty much every month. Also happens to be bald.
Perfect. Then it's a perfect nickname.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Nailed it. Shout out to whoever came up with that, by the way. I forget her name.
Yeah. And shout out to everyone on the Patreon, because I don't think we've ever had more comments on something than about this debate.
Yeah. I love it. That's why I'm here for it. Give us your nicknames.
Me too. So we went on a first date with Mr. Worldwide. Met him on Bumble. So he was one of the guys that I had mentioned. I had a couple like Bumble irons in the fire last week and was kind of chatting. He's one of those. And he's older. So we have...
Oh.
We have Montana Boy. And then we have Mr. Worldwide, who is like... I think he's like 6 years older than me. He's in his early 40s.
I mean, that's good. I like older.
Yeah, I have not historically dated that many guys who are older than me. Not really on purpose, but I have a bunch of friends who are.
Well, you know what? I think this sometimes goes hand in hand with like boss lady energy that we both have, or like hyper independent energy. I feel like it naturally attracts younger and people, no disrespect, but don't have their lives as together. Does that
Literally,
make sense?
Yes. One of the things that Montana Boy said to me, we were talking about, this was like in person at the tournament. We were talking about dating like a little bit kind of. And he said something about how he like likes to be told what to do, where to go, like in a relationship. And I was like, oh God, I totally would have been that person for you 10 years ago. Like I totally would have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually how it lines up.
Yeah. So Mr. Worldwide, a little bit older, not that vibe at all. Some of the other nicknames were in the like gentlemanly nickname ideas were in the like gentlemanly range, because he is very gentlemanly. Part of that probably comes from him being a little older. He's also not American, so like his culture I think is a little bit a little bit different. But it was a very like understated chivalry, like not over the top. Like I've been out with some people who were like so aggressively showy about being a gentleman, and I'm like, I think we're doing a little too much here.
Have you ever had, you've been like walking around with somebody and they keep moving you and you're like, why are you moving me? And yes. And it's, they're like, I need to be on the, you know, side of the street, which is very gentlemanly. But one time I remember like navigating from a date going to somewhere and he was also leading. And I was like, well, then stop taking so many turns, man. Like, why do we keep taking this many turns? You keep shipping me around. Like, walk. Appreciate it, but you're a little like, what is happening?
Yes. 100%. So yeah, so just like little things, like I just knew from the beginning of the date that he was going to pay for it, like just by like things that he, like the way that he was saying things. And then when the check came, or excuse me, when he asked for the check, he said to the server, can we get the check when you get a chance, please? You can bring it to me. Like, yep. Very smooth, not showy, just like, I will be paying for this. And I appreciated it.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're not from the US, some cultures, it's like offensive.
Yeah.
You attempt to or even think about it.
Yeah. So it was just, it was really fun. He is, so he's very well traveled, obviously. Like I said, he travels internationally for work. So he's been to a lot of different places, but also is going to a few places in the upcoming year that I've been and he hasn't. So we were able to kind of like give each other, and he's been to Mexico City where I'm going over the summer. And so we were like kind of going back and forth on a bunch of travel stuff. We talked about family. His family still lives in the country that he's from, being purposely vague because it's a really small country and it would get too specific.
No, yeah, it's fine. You don't have to share.
But so like talked about that. He's super close to his family, even though they live there, has some siblings, which like a lot of like different kind of going from talking about more like serious stuff to like, you know, family or, you know, what we're looking for. We're both like looking for a serious relationship, and he's been married before, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not for very long. But he's been married. And it was just like really nice, like just a very easy conversation. We did have dinner, which I wasn't expecting. I was expecting it to be drinks, but then forgot to eat dinner beforehand. So it was a good thing it was dinner. I was hoping that I was going to like him because I'm like, I'm very hungry and it's going to be upsetting if I have to eat food with somebody that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked him. So it worked out.
Yeah. And very nice and generous to offer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even absolutely. When you say just getting drinks, I always appreciate if someone throws out a like, do we want an app? Do you want like, we hungry? We good? Like, it's just nice. It's just a nice gesture.
I totally agree. The funny thing about this was that when I got there, he was seated at a table, but it was like in the bar area. So like, we could have also just gotten drinks. And he was like, after he kind of got settled, he's like, I realized I asked if you wanted to get dinner or drinks and you said drinks, but I haven't eaten. And I'm like, no, that's perfect. I haven't eaten either. Like, we right, can eat.
Yeah. Even if you did, I'm sure you'd be like, yeah, get some food. Like,
of course. Yes.
What am I, a monster? No. Yeah,
you may not eat. This is only drinks.
Yeah. You can't eat that in front of me. How dare you?
How dare you? It was really fun. And it was pouring rain outside. Mm-hmm. And so we were like kind of like waiting in the little whatever vestibule of the restaurant. His Uber came first. And he ran out there, told him to like wait a few minutes because my Uber wasn't there yet. And then like came out with me in the rain to open my Uber door for me, which I just thought was really nice.
It is really nice. It's really sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet. So, and then he asked me to tell him when I got home. I forgot. He texted me.
No.
And then I let him know I was home, had a good time. And he asked me on a second date, like in that same text conversation that same night.
I like it. I like the older guy energy.
I know. He actually, now that I'm thinking about it, he actually said something towards the end of the date. He was like, oh, I hope it's not too presumptuous, but I'd like really like to see you again. Something like that.
No, not at all. I like it. I'm attracted to it. It's like, hey, you know what you want? You make a move. Mm-hmm. Don't leave me in the gray area. I love it.
I agree. So yeah. So we planned another dinner for our second date.
That's exciting. Excited.
Mm, yeah.
I'm excited. You seem giddy on both counts. Ho phase and dating intentionally.
Ho phase and dating intentionally. It should be good. Well, interestingly enough, The second date is the night of the tournament when I am going to see Montana Boy. So I'm going to see Montana Boy at this tournament and then go on a second date with Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, there you go. When it rains, it pours. What can you do?
Indeed. Indeed. So yeah, I'm excited about it. So one thing that I talked about on the Patreon a few weeks ago is that I see an astrologer like twice a year or so. And in this past reading, she told me, which she has never told me before. She's never told me before, like, when I'm going to meet the person I marry.
Like, the person. My person.
The person. Yeah.
The person.
Okay. The person. She's never told me that before. And this time, towards the end of our call, she was like, so, do you want to know when you're going to meet your person?
Mm.
I'm like, yes.
Sure. Yeah. Lay it on me.
Yeah. Lay it on me. And she said 2026.
Is when you're going to meet them.
I think so. Now that you say that, I believe so, though. I believe that's what she said.
Okay. How much do you subscribe to this stuff? Yeah.
Not some other stuff she said has been so on the money, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like in hindsight, going back in, because I take notes during the calls or whatever. So like in hindsight, going back and reading my notes and then like mapping it out to things that happened has been a little freaky.
Right.
At the same time, I'm not like, oh, well, there's no way Mr. Worldwide could be the guy for me because my astrologer said so.
Right. Like it's, I mean, because also, you know, to hear 2 years isn't fun to hear.
No, didn't love it. Didn't love the news.
So it's like, all right, I don't want to believe this and I don't have to.
Yeah, truly. It did, though, interestingly, because, I mean, we did our meeting IRL episode last week, talked about how dating apps just like haven't felt the best recently. Mm-hmm. I also haven't been that invested in dating recently. Like I've been very invested in work, in multiple facets of work and very invested in that and really not in dating as much.
Yeah, which is fine. So sometimes you have to swing. You're just like, it's not happening right now.
Yeah. So part of it honestly kind of spoke to me. Like when she said that to me, my first reaction was like, that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah. My second reaction was like, oh, bummer.
Right. And I think this is where, you know, astrology, manifesting, all that stuff gets difficult, where it's like, I've heard so many people say, like, you know, I just had this feeling like I was going to meet my person soon. Mm. I think even Matchmaker Maria is someone that I've heard say that. And no shade if that's how you feel, but it's something that I'm like, I have never genuinely felt that. But I also haven't felt like the extreme opposite either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's
like there's something I don't know if I could like fake it till I believe it. To be like, my person is coming and they are coming soon and da da da. Regardless of like if I got a astrology reading or something or not. You know what I mean? Like,
I
feel like people just kind of pop up when they pop up, whether it's online or in person, of people that like I've actually ended up dating at least, you know, a couple months or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Right now, I kind of feel like I'm not meeting them anytime soon. And that's not to discredit how much fun I did have with Mr. Worldwide. Like, definitely dead. Excited to go out with him again. But like, I don't know, like recently I've just been feeling like, even before that astrology reading, just like, I think dating is just fun for me right now. Like, I don't actually think I'm going to meet somebody serious anytime soon. And like, that actually kind of sits okay with me.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think you need to feel that for it to happen.
Oh, true. True, true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because you're like, I had this wonderful date. I'm excited for the next date. And sometimes I almost think if you're not focused on it is when it is just more fun and more, oh, it just happened.
Yeah.
You know, like you weren't like hustling, trying to talk to 20 guys to get a date for the week and yada, yada. It just was like, all right, let me ask this guy. He's free. All right, let's go out. And then you're like, wow, I had a wonderful time. Like, how nice is that? Low
very
expectation.
Nice. I did not want to go on this date.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
Had nothing to do with him. It was pouring. And like I said, I kind of had a feeling, I just kind of have had this feeling like dating isn't really my thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pouring rain. And it was the last thing I wanted to do. But I'm like, I'm not going to cancel. I'm going to go. And I had a great time.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
Look at that. Look at that. You also had a date.
I did. So I guess kind of an update from last episode. Yeah. The person I met at my friend's show, followed on Instagram. And after we recorded, I was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll like send him a note, feel out a vibe. So I DM'd him, said something like, hey, great meeting you the other night. Like, had a good time, blah, blah, blah. And then he responded. We chatted a bit. And then I just said, hey, you seem like a lot of fun. You know, do you want to get a drink sometime? And he was like, great. I love it. Yeah,
so bold, great. So what's direct. It's perfect. Yep.
Just moved right along. Gave him my number. Immediately hit me with like two places that were both really, really cool vibes. We ended up going to the Roger Room, I believe it's called.
I think so. I think that's what you told me.
They have very interesting, like every cocktail, you know, has like a different twist, you know, like an espresso martini that has, you know, orange in it or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Really cute place. Nice little two people booth. So it almost feels like designed for if you're going on a date, if that makes sense.
So intimate.
Yeah, very like good lining, easy to get cozy situation. So we go immediately having a fun time. It's great. And then there suddenly, though, was like a turn in the night.
No.
Which ended up being like the end of the date-ish time where something came up about like his ex. And I just like felt an energy shift where I was like, oh no, fun's over. We lost it.
Was it something that he said, or was it like you asked something and then he like didn't respond right away? Or did he like bring up the energy suck?
It was something came up about like dating. I think it was almost a joke. Like I said something and then I was like, oh, I mean, I assume this is a date. Like,
and he was funny.
Like, yeah. And then he said, it is a date. You were very direct and asked me on a date.
You asked me on a date and now we are on a date.
He's like, yes, it is a date. I was like, yeah, I mean, all right. Like, you know, you just have that moment where you go, it is, right? I'm not crazy. Okay.
You're like, feeling you the vibe correctly. You know that it's almost like you're just like, you know I asked you on a date, right? Great.
Right. Okay. You know this is a date, right? This isn't, you know, whatever. And so then I think he asked me, like, what's your impression of dating in LA? Because he knows I'm, like, newish here. And I was like, to be honest, I'm like, I don't see, like, crazy differences between New York and LA. You know, I was like, the people in general, I'm more of an East Coast vibe. So I was just like, I think I get like more matches if you're talking dating apps, like in New York. I was like, I think that's just kind of like my ground zero start here or whatever. But I was just like, yeah, I haven't like dated a ton here yet. So, you know, and then I asked him like, what would you say? What would you say is like the biggest complaint or something? And he said lack of intimacy. And he originally said because there's so many like performers, which hello, I am one. You know, no shade, but he said there are a lot of people that are like very narcissistic, very want to be in front of the camera. And he feels like it's harder to connect maybe with those people.
Okay.
Right. So it's like, okay, perfectly fine combo. You know, things were just so comfortable that you're not even like thinking about like we're talking about dating on a date until a turn happens.
Oh, no.
And essentially he said like, yeah, the last person I really felt like intimacy with was my ex. And then I felt sad boy city coming in.
Like, why did he have to say that? Like,
I don't know.
Because
I don't know.
Isn't that an obvious statement?
It is. Yeah. You'd think someone you really dated. Because that's, well, at least for me, when something ends with somebody, usually the frustration with getting back out there is that lack of intimacy.
Right.
Is the feeling like, I hate being back on level one with somebody.
Yeah.
And you're like part of you wants to fast forward to like, can we just like cuddle on the couch and just be like comfortable in silence, you know?
Like that feels obvious that, yeah, the last person that you felt that kind of intimacy with was the last person you dated. That makes sense.
Right. And it's like, well, you got to start somewhere. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep. Here we are trying.
Yeah. But then I'm calling him the heartbreaker, even though it's one date and don't think I'll see this man again. Because he did say, to be honest, I am still a little heartbroken over it. Turns out this woman is from also a few years ago. So very tough spot to be in.
Several years later, that is rough.
It's the one that got away energy, like you said.
Absolutely. Like that's it. That screams one that got away. Like he thinks she's the one that got away.
Oh, absolutely. So
yeah.
So if you're listening and this sounds like your ex, and you want to give it another shot, call.
He's heartbroken.
Go call him. Kidding. I don't advise getting back with exes. But if this somehow is the girl listening,
man,
might as well go for it.
Several years later, not only is he still thinking about her and thinking she's the one that got away, but he is bringing her up on first dates.
Yeah.
And telling those first dates that he's heartbroken over her. So that's like another level of heartbroken.
Yeah. And I just, you know, tried to like get out of it. I, you know, acknowledged it. I'm not a dick. I just was like, yeah, it sounds like, you know, you really loved her. And then I'm sorry that didn't work out, you know, and then tried to pivot to something else. And it was, oh man, like not getting much eye contact after that, where you're just like, okay, I think this is done. So,
oh no.
Yeah. And nice guy. Not like anything's
wrong
with him. I mean, other than, I guess you're not over your ex, but like, yeah, I'm like, I don't really have any bad things to say other than that. And then I got home and I was just like the goodbye, waiting for the Uber. You just feel it where you go, we're not doing another date. This is done.
Nope. No, we're not.
Yeah. I get home. My roommate was like, that was a fast date. I'm like, yeah, took a turn. And then I actually did get a text that night basically saying like, hey, had a really fun time. I wasn't feeling the spark. And then he offered like, oh, I would still like to maybe come to a show, be friends. So to be determined if we'll ever speak again, but you know.
Yeah. Cause ball's kind of in his court if he really wants to make that happen. Right.
Yeah. Cause I responded to him, but it's like, I'm not going to actively follow up and tell you when I have shows and stuff like that.
Of course not.
Because also, you know, sometimes people just say that to be nice.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So I'm like, all right, yeah, maybe I'll see you at a show. I'm not going to be a dick. I'd say hello. Perfectly nice person. But I will say, I guess my takeaway is like, even though there was the turn, he's into an ex, not over it. It's like in real life, people do tend to lead to at least better dates for me, even if the outcome is the same. Versus online. Do you know what I mean?
Like the dynamic that you had with him and like the way that you were enjoying the conversation.
Yeah, because it does feel like a second date. It feels like your first meeting is kind of that first date.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, and it like was like, oh, it was nice to like really look forward to a date. At least a little bit more than someone I've just never met. You know, it feels like less of a gamble, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
So, but oh well. I was like, nothing I can do. So.
No. Heartbreaker.
Not for me.
Shed a tear for heartbreaker.
Yeah. Oh, well.
One more thing that I feel like we should pose to the listeners. Mm. So we've been spitballing around on our new term for the mutual opt-out, the moo. And we have had a couple people say that they want to keep moo.
No. No.
Okay.
I like unsubscribe better. I hate saying moo. It just feels like the word doesn't end.
Well, I think that's kind of fitting.
No, it doesn't roll off the tongue for me. I don't like it, but sorry, I cut off your idea. What is the idea?
Okay.
To keep it?
Well, I was going to say maybe we could put up a poll like in our stories, but if you're not into moo, then we shouldn't do that and we should just go with unsubscribe.
I don't like it. I like to unsubscribe. I think something different.
All right, let's go with that then.
Unsubscribed.
Yeah, the only thing somebody brought up, if we're talking literal definitions, somebody brought up that when you unsubscribe from something, one party wants to continue contact and the other person is the one saying no. Like it's not actually mutual when you unsubscribe.
Well, I think it's mutual that you don't hear from each other again.
Right, but it's one person initiating that, whereas the other person was like technically reaching out and sending
an email list. It's an email list. It's not a person.
I know.
It doesn't.
I know.
I say no. I still say it's better. It's better than moo. Which everybody's welcome. You've got a better suggestion. Throw it in there.
True. Also.
Both of these.
Yeah.
So. No, I like it. I think it's fun. I like it.
All right.
That's my opinion.
No problem then.
Sorry to the moo community. But
the moo community.
Moo is offensive to cows. So I'm speaking on behalf of the cows. They don't like it.
It's a cow's point. It's moo, as they say on Friends.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one other thing. Sorry. It's quick. We got an a submission from a listener who said that she wanted to thank us for sharing what we've shared about scams because it probably saved her.
Oh, which scam?
So she said, I listened to the pod episode where you talked about the New York Times writer being scammed. And not too long after, I started getting scammy phone calls related to my bank account. Mm. I called my bank. Turns out somebody hacked into my account after trying to impersonate me at my bank in person. I know Whoa. We should be on alert at all times, but it was listening to you talk about the scam in depth on the pod that helped me catch it so fast and hopefully prevent a lot of damage.
Yeah, your bank, they always say, like, we're never going to just call you. And
yeah,
especially call you and there's a person on the phone. Has anyone called customer service anywhere in the past 5 years? Like, oh, a person's on the phone immediately? Scam.
Absolutely not. Like, absolutely not.
It's more likely to be a scam for me.
Good job, listener. And also happy to hear that us talking about scams has helped somebody.
Yeah. I mean, new ones keep popping up all the time. It's insane. So
it's so true. It's so true.
Anyway, but yeah, your bank will never call you. All right.
No.
They'll just charge you overdraft fees or whatever. That's how they make money. All right. They're not going to call you with a warning. Okay.
Yeah, truly. So that's it. And now we can get to Matchmaker Maria.
We can. So hope you guys enjoy this episode. And without further ado, Matchmaker Maria.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And we are back with Maria. Hi, Maria. Welcome back to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast.
Hello, hello. I feel like it's been a couple years, but I don't know what time is anymore.
It all blends. It all blends.
I hear that.
Anyway, we're very excited to have you back. I guess up top, for a little background on you and some of your dating theories, I think the one you're most known for is the 12 date rule, which we have referenced on the show. So can you give a quick rundown of the 12 date rule? What counts as a date for the listeners who might not have heard it yet?
So there's Matchmaker Maria date math. Let's start there first. And yeah. That is where I believe that a date is a minimum of 20 minutes, phone call, video call, or in-person date, and maximum 3 hours. And you can have up to 2 dates in 1 day. So let's say you go on that like 7-hour marathon date where, you know, it's like brunch, walk, movie, whatever. Yeah, that counts for 2 dates. And the 12 date rule method is just a different way to date where you recenter compatibility around your emotional compatibility instead of physical compatibility. And you start counting dates, 12 dates, 12 interactions, essentially. For most people, it takes about 2.5-3 weeks. You're not supposed to get to 12 with everyone. with some people, you might have decided to get intimate, you know, at 8 dates or 10 dates. That's okay. Rules are meant to be broken. But ultimately, when you're doing the 12 date rule method, you should be looking out for 4 things. Number one, what they're like on a good day. Number two, what they're like on a bad day. Number three, how they treat you on a bad, when you're having a bad day. And number four, and this is the most important, how they treat you when you're having a good day. And you can learn a lot when you listen in the first 2 to 3 weeks of dating someone, of getting to know someone. This is not purity culture. If you want to hoe face someone, by all means, I really don't care. I'm not your mom. but it's just a different way to recenter compatibility. And, you know, I've been counting for the last couple of years, and I have over 2,000, I think it's closer to 3,000 now, couples engaged. Like, there's not a single day that goes by that I don't get an email or a DM from someone to tell me that they use 12-Date Rule to get engaged. So that's really cool.
That's very cool. And so you are a matchmaker. Did you develop this kind of theory, this math, this thought process through matchmaking? And kind of
sort of, yeah, like, you know, when you're a matchmaker, you have to tell some clients you cannot have sex on the first date because I could go to jail because that would make me a really different service. So 12-Date Rule was developed back in, like, I want to say 2010. It was just the kind of, it's like an arbitrary number, but I think, yeah. I think we really love 12, right? Like the Mayans like the number 12. The Phoenicians like the number 12. Like, it's a 12 is a nice universal number. We have 12 months. We have 12 horoscopes. We have, you know, I don't know, just different. Like, I think people get the number 12. And, you know, ultimately, if you do it through Matchmaker Maria Date Math, it does take about 2.5-3 weeks. And I think that's like a pretty safe place to be dating. I also think that when you show people that 12-Date Rule does not include texting, like, texting doesn't count for shit. Mm. And you'll realize that a lot of people who are currently dating, they're texting a lot, and they're not, when you know that, like, that doesn't count for anything, you might be more inclined to ask for, hey, I want to do a phone call with you, or hey, let's do a FaceTime. You know, like, you went on a really great first date on a Monday. Maybe your next physical date is on Thursday, but maybe between Monday and Thursday, we can sneak in a 25-minute FaceTime call. And there you go. Now you're already on 3 dates. And it just gives I feel like it gives people a lot of purpose. I have no shortage of men telling me that they love this. I think it's really great that men do it and they're excited to do it. And the men that who don't want to do it, they just don't want to respect your boundaries, and you shouldn't be dating those people anyway. I know that's towards a very, speaking heteronormatively to our female listenership, but.
You know. Well, I guess would you say in general, the rule's purpose is to have people show consistency? Because it's like, a lot of times people can show interest in you, but like, how long are they going to keep it up for? And prove consistency with it.
Yeah. And I think Allie has actually used a really cool word in the past. I think you use the word cadence, right?
Yeah.
And I think that counts for a lot in the beginning of a relationship. Like, that is when you establish your expectations of people. And, you know, that's when you should be communicating not only how you expect to be treated, but where do you hope this goes? And I think when you are putting in the time with someone and it's not over tax and you're like intentionally trying to get to know them, it can be a lot easier to get to a place where you define the relationship, get into the relationship that will hopefully lead to marriage. You know, a lot of the content that I make and a lot of the audience that I think follows me are people who are dating to get married. And this is one method to do that.
So when you're working with somebody and they're like, I want to do this. I want to follow the 12-date rule. I haven't succeeded in the past, or maybe I, like, you know, slept with somebody too soon. I'm putting that in quotes, but like, for what I would want, right? Like, I seem to find myself doing that and I want to follow the 12-date rule. But I'm having a hard time. Like, what advice would you give those people?
One way to do the 12-date rule is to make your dates outside of your house. And I also have noticed that women communicate the 12-date rule to men. Like, I think I have given this like fun little script in my highlights that you could use, but I actually noticed that more women are just telling men on dates now outright, like, I just go to Matchmaker Maria's profile and look at her 12-date rule highlight and circle back and tell me what you think. And I know that they're doing that because every single day I have a guy who'll reply to that highlight because they're thinking that they're replying to the woman who sent it to him. Realizing that they're actually DMing me. And I mean, 9 out of 10 times, it's a guy saying, like, sounds great. I can do this. Are we on date 6? Like, they're responding. And then some other guys are like, this is garbage. I'm never doing this. And I'll reply on those. I'll be like, I think you sent this to the wrong person, but I also don't think you should date that person.
Yeah. Don't send this to her. Just stop dating her.
Just leave her alone. Leave her alone. I should put that on a t-shirt. Leave her alone.
Yeah, I think sometimes people like just have a hang up with giving them an exact parameter, like an exact number. And I think that's more what people maybe feel hesitant to say, as being like, it's going to be 12. Some people might just want to say like, hey, I'm not in a rush, and like, it's going to take a while.
But see, and I think that's great. And I think that people who want to talk like that, they should do that. There's a lot of people who do that, and they'll just say, I'm not in a rush, I want to get to know you. And I think that's great. I think for some people, though, there are people who are a little bit more, I don't want to say analytical, because I don't think that's what it is, but some people just like a mission. And listen, you could do 12 date rule with someone and your relationship doesn't get defined, or you could do 12 date rule with someone and they still break your heart. But that's, you know, there's also going to be a lot of people who do not make it to date 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I'm going to be really happy that, I mean, I get messages from women every single day who are like, I did 12 date rule with this guy and only went up to 6 dates, and I'm just so happy I didn't sleep with him because he ended up being a raging narcissist. And I'm like, wow, what a win, you know? And right. I hear from the people that hesitate with this, but look, in my DMs, it's just only positive, and that's, I can only base that from the testimonials that I get, right? I'm sure there's people who hate it, and that's okay if you hate it. I don't care. If you hate it, do something else. There's like no shortage of dating advice out there. Pick the book that fits for you and follow that advice.
One thing I think really resonates with people really like a rule.
Yeah.
But like a more loosely framed rule. Like what I like about your rule is that it's not, it doesn't feel like judgy and constraining to me. Like it feels very much more like a framework of like, this is how you should can think about it. And like you can go into the interaction and or your the relationship, whatever, like thinking about it a little differently, not like you must do this.
Right. And I think that's so nice that you said that, Ali, because I mean, I get people send me screenshots on their phone of all their dates. Like they'll do Excel sheets, like how many hours they spent with someone. It's really cute. It's really cool, actually. And I think that's really I think recentering compatibility away from you thought someone was cute is really important, because physical compatibility doesn't really matter in the long run. In the long run, everything revolves around emotional compatibility and financial compatibility. So if I can give you, you know, a couple more dates where you can maybe talk about, you know, your lifestyle, how you value the way you spend your time, how you value the way you spend your money. You know, what a win. You know, you can learn a lot about someone in just a few dates. And just like I said before, rules are meant to be broken. If you sleep with someone on the 8, 9, 10, I don't, it's cool. It's fine. You know, you're not doomed to fail. But I will say, if you do have sex on the first date, you know, the odds are against you, right? You're gambling. There are many, many people who will say, well, my parents or my friend or I got married after having sex on my first date. Great. You won the lottery. People win the lottery every single week. I am so happy for you, but that is not the case for most people. You don't know the person. You don't know what they're going to like. I think when I said the most important thing to learn from someone is like how they treat you on a good day, it's because I hear from women, especially all the time, about how like they dated someone and, you know, let's say they were going to brunch with their mother and their sister, the guy that they were dating would pick a fight, you know, right before, so that, you know, you think about them while you're away, or maybe you get a promotion and he got like huffy and puffy because, oh, now you're not going to be spending, you know, time with me anymore, instead of just celebrating you. And I think there's a way to get to know people and learn, you know, what kind of friendships they have, what kind of hobbies do they have, do they have lives without you, or are you going to be their only hobby? And the only way to get to know that is to not be distracted by sex.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's both a way of like protecting your feelings, because we've all been there with especially the exceptions to the rule, right? Like I have a friend who-
This is lottery.
It's so funny it's that she says this, because I feel the same way, where she's like, I have a lot of friends that have been the exception to a rule. Whether it's the sleep with them soon, or the guy that just got out of a relationship who says he's not ready to date. And she goes, all right, screw it, I'll just have fun. Turns out he does want to date her, right? Like all these little scenarios we've all personally experienced. But I'm in that camp that I go, well, I have never been the exception.
Now
I'm going to try just following the fucking rules then, you know?
Yeah. Like that's never happened to me either. It's funny because with my husband, I did 12 date rule him, but it ended up taking like, 18 dates or 19 dates because he got, like, you know, the man fell in love and he got a little anxious. So I'm going to give it a few more dates, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It worked.
Well, there's a few things you touched on too with your answers that I want to ask you follow-ups on. The first one is you talked about how sexual compatibility is not the most important thing. And I think that's what people often stress with this rule. Like what if we have sex and then when we have sex, it's bad. So the question is, if you have sex with somebody and you don't feel like it's great or you're not clicking, how much time would you advise that person to like give it a chance?
Six weeks.
We're past 12 date rule.
Six weeks. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sex can be fixed. It's okay if sex is not incredible the first time you have it, especially if it's someone that you've already gotten to know emotionally, because that means that you might have the tools to communicate what you need to feel satisfied in bed, and you can build on that, right? I don't expect anyone to be aligned the first time they have sex. And I mean, I can think even just from my own personal examples that there have been many instances where I had sex with someone, we were aligned the first time we had sex, but that turned out to be nothing, right? It was a splash in the pan relationship and we moved on. So that's not evidence of anything. Of all the people that I've advised in, you know, my 15 years as a professional matchmaker, is that if you feel like you like someone and you can talk to them, if you are misaligned the first time you have sex, give it 6 weeks. You have to talk, you have to figure it out. You know, some men experience erectile dysfunction. I've heard that, I believe it's 85% of men who experience ED, it's more mental than it is an actual physical condition. And, you know, it's not about telling the man like, what are you going to do about it? It's, you know, seeing first, you know, having the patience to see if he can acknowledge it in front of you. And then maybe you can ask questions like, oh, okay. Are you know, does this bother you? Yes. Is there anything that you're doing to fix it? Or like there's more conversation to that. Or you can also just try morning sex, you know, before the brain wakes up. Let the other brain do its work and see if it's really physical or mental. But yeah, I think it takes like 6 weeks to line up.
But I think that's the part that's hard, is a lot of times it's not that the sex wasn't great. It's what if the other person is essentially not very receptive to feedback and very defensive. And then a lot of women sit there and go, so how do I bring this up that doesn't offend him especially, and masculinity and all these other things. And then the question becomes, how much patience do I have around that, around the person that I feel like I'm kind of walking on eggshells about this and trying to get them comfortable enough to really like talk about this with me, or like you said, do something about it, you know, because I don't think anyone sits here and goes, oh, do something about it. You know, if a guy can't get it up or whatever happens.
Right.
But I think we've all also been there where you're like, okay, you are really not receptive to any feedback on my end. And but like, I do see, not mean this to be attacking you, you know?
Yeah. And I think that can be a warning sign for other things. Like if you can't have the conversation about sex, and not even about like a man's penis working, but even like about STDs or is it STIs, right? That's the better word. I feel like if they're being defensive about it and the ego is getting in the way, and it continues on, like they don't have a self-awareness or self-reflection to like apologize later and say, look, that got really heated. I'm just really insecure. Let's try this conversation one more time. I think that that could be a sign of, you know, maybe this person's not really ready for an adult relationship, because, you know, it starts with sex now, but later on the line, you have more difficult conversations waiting for you, right? Financial compatibility is a big one. Emotional resilience, equally big. And, you know, these conversations start somewhere. So I think of the people that I may have experienced that, and they kind of like were so offended to not talk about it. I remember that there were other critical communication issues that had nothing to do with their dick, you know, had to do with other things.
Right. Or their skills, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really like about waiting, and I don't always do it, but I prefer to.
It's fine. You don't have to.
I'd like to. I just don't always. But one of the things that I have liked about it is that when I feel like I've had sex too early for what I would like, obviously I'm there. Yeah. I'm consenting. I'm doing it. But like in hindsight, being like, man, yeah. like I wish I had waited a little longer. I feel like I don't know that person well enough to have those conversations. And that to me is a sign that I shouldn't be sleeping with them. If I don't feel like we have the emotional connection, like you said, or like the emotional safety for me to talk to them about that. It happened really recently, like the last guy that I slept with. Yeah, it was
what happened? Bad.
The sex was bad. We were misaligned to like very, very. We both felt it for sure. We did not discuss it, but we both felt it.
How are you misaligned?
It just was like we weren't communicating well in the moment of like he wanted something and I didn't really understand. And like then I did something and he was like, oh, no, that's not what I meant. Like it just was like very.
That's tough. Awkward. That's really tough.
And I had already kind of thought that he was maybe not a long-term prospect for a couple of other like incompatibility reasons. So I kind of just let it go after that. But I remember thinking I didn't feel comfortable enough with him. I don't feel comfortable enough with him to be like, hey, let's talk about last night. Right. Like let's
talk about that. Yeah, you're ready to throw it away anyway.
Yeah. And that, that's the sign.
I remember I had a crush on this guy back in college who lived in a different country, but I would see him like every couple of months at debating tournaments. I'm a debating club nerd.
I love
and,
that.
But he, you know, he lived in a different country. He lived in Ireland. And when I was single, he had a girlfriend. And then when he was single, I had a boyfriend. And finally, one day we were both single at the same time and we happened to be in the same city and we're like, we have to go out. Like, cause I think there was like, it was like that sexual tension, that flirtation.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I expect. Like, you know, I had known him for like 3 years by then. You know, we've spent so many countless tournament times together. Like, you know, in 12 date rule math, we're like at 3,000, you know? and we're finally like, I went back to his, he was visiting. So I went back to his hotel room and I still think about the way we were misaligned. Like that's my Roman Empire because, I had no expectations. I was kind of like, we're going to go and we're going to make out, you know, and we'll see what happens. If something happens, it happens. But like, I hadn't put on the I'm submissive and you're dominant hat. Like that wasn't – we're not there, you know, in my eyes on the first time, especially when like this is a person that I considered like a friend of mine, right? So like – but I guess with my personality, which I have been told that I am an aggressive, assertive Jersey girl.
I think those are wonderful things.
I've been told the same and I'm not even crazy, but yeah.
Hearing those, I think him knowing that about me, I think he expected me to be like really dominant in bed when, I mean, I think people like me might not necessarily be dominant, but I think because you're so kind of like domineering in like regular life, it's like maybe it's a little the opposite when you're home, but like I didn't have that hat on. Yeah, right?
For sure. That's my theory. Yep. Yeah.
What is relatable?
Like who people are in real life is often the opposite in bed.
Right. And but I guess he was expecting like that. And so when we started to fool around, we started to get naked, I could tell that he wanted me to like do other things and be vocal and like just like whoosh, you know, like that sort of thing. And dude, I mean, I at some point I think our heads actually bumped. Like,
oh no. Like,
and I was like, you know what? This isn't working. And we ended up not having sex. Like there was never P and V penetration because we were so misaligned on the expectations of this experience. 4 years in the making.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah.
And I think about that all the time. I'm like, wow, like you really had me pegged wrong. No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended on that. Yeah.
I was just thinking he really didn't. He really didn't have you pegged at all.
Not at all.
Of pegging, actually. But
total lack of pegging. So yeah, that was really funny for me, I think. I think about that all the time. Man, he's a very nice man living in Ireland.
Yeah, but it makes sense because like when this has come up on the pod before about people's theories about waiting, you know, sometimes it feels like, quote, anti-feminist. But I usually try to frame it in my head from the standpoint of like, there's been times that I wasn't emotionally invested enough. And then the sex was bad. And then I did essentially what Allie did. And I was like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I didn't give it a second thought because, like, I didn't let myself get invested in the situation. You know, and
yeah,
it comes from that communicating point too, that you're just like, ugh, you know what?
It's so interesting when the words like feminism are put on this, because if anything, like, I feel like I'm actually choosing to control the narrative of the relationship. And I feel like that is empowering. But also, like, I'm also a big fan of, I mean, I'm a big fan of hoe phasing, which is,
well, that was going to be our next question for you, actually.
What a segue. Do you want to ask the question?
Well, okay, because I know you got rules, 12 date rule, but then you also have hoe phase rules, which is why we appreciate the range that you have on the subject.
We love the range.
We're all human.
Love the range. I'm not stupid.
So I guess what's your outline for hoe phasing? What are your rules for the people that are like, I want a hoe phase right now?
I love that. So I just want to say that men have been hoe phasing. That's how they date, right? So essentially hoe phasing is not being attached to the outcome of every date you go out on, right? And there's a world where you can go on dates without thinking, is this my next boyfriend? Is this my husband? Is this the father of my kids? Just go on the first date. And if you, or maybe if you're online and, you know, a guy is starting to talk to you like sexually and you're like, that's rude. But also, am I attracted to him? Do I want to sleep with him and just have a hoe phase? Because at least I know now he's like a dick. Like, he's what a creep. But maybe I can like hoe phase.
I will not get attached to this man.
I will not get attached to this man. And I think, you know, ultimately what it comes down to is that when people have sex, they release a hormone called oxytocin. And, you know, it's like the cuddle drug. It gets people very attached. I feel like when you are subscribing to hoe phase, like when you actually tell yourself, I'm going to hoe phase this person, I want to believe, at least this has been my experience in myself, but also in the people that advise, that there is a world where you can kind of drain that oxytocin out, because you're like, yeah, this would never work on you. Like, this would never work out. So like for me, for instance, when I would hoe phase maybe with people that were like 5 inches shorter than me. Like the two of you, I'm very tall as well. This is team tall girl. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'11", and you know, there was a shorty, he's like 5'7", I'd be like, sure, okay, let's, sure, you know. Or maybe if he was like a Republican.
Yeah, I saw something you wrote once about like a fatal flaw.
So hoe phasing can only work. Hoe phasing can only work if there's a fatal flaw where you're like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Because you have to remind yourself that so that you don't get attached. Like, there is no way we're coming back from this. And
that is,
there is a way to do that.
That is what I was intending on doing with the guy that I was just talking about. And then it was so bad. And I was like, well, now I thought we could just have fun, but that wasn't fun at all.
I'm currently writing a book. It comes out next year. And my editor, I was talking about like friends with benefits and something like, you know, you can only have like 3 times with a friends with benefits. And she's like, three, like my editor's note, 3 times. I thought at least 3 months. And I'm like, no, that's like attachment right there. I'm like, 3 times. And like, the truth is, like, friends with benefits, let's be honest, it's only good the first time. The second time is like so awful. At least that's been my experience. Am I wrong, Allie? What do you think?
No,
like, you're having a physical reaction right now.
It is so crazy. So I haven't had that much friends with benefits experience in my life. Like, I've either been or thinking that I was sleeping with someone that was going somewhere and then it didn't.
Sure.
More so that.
So an unknown friends with benefits.
Yes. I did have a friends with benefits situation last year.
Okay.
That the main pod doesn't know about. It was only on the Patreon, but
hello.
I had one. Hello. And it was amazing the first time.
Sure.
Like,
the second time was awful. Completely misaligned.
So bad.
Yeah. That's happened to me. And I remember the second time, like, I remember this one time I had sex with someone and the sex was so hot. I was like, wow, like, don't fall for him, Maria. Like, I remember thinking that, like, don't you dare, you know? And then the second time I was like, this is not the same man. And it's funny because like, a few months later, I hooked up with this other guy that I thought was the cutest man I've ever met. He still is. And that sexual experience with him was so good that I remember telling him after that, you and I will never see each other again. He's like, why not? That was amazing. We got to do it. I'm like, no, the next time is never going to be as good as this.
We can't.
I just want to remember you like this. Like, let me, you know, let me keep you like this in my memory. So I feel like the rules for this stuff is if he's a friend and you're having sex, you get one chance. That's it.
But then you're almost saying, oh, you mean a friend with benefits.
But they can't be friends with benefits. Not a friend. Like, I don't know. I don't really believe in friends with benefits. Okay. I believe in like just fuck people you want to fuck. Co-phase, whatever. Casual sex. I don't.
Yeah, we don't mean literally go find your friends to hook up.
Well, some people do that. And then you know what they do after that? After 3 months, they DM me and they're like, Maria, will it ever work? And I'm like, no, it will not. Because if he wanted to date you, he would be dating you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the truth.
Yeah, I agree with that. This, I mean, the hookup thing, though, I've had the opposite experience. But maybe it's just because I'm not knocking it out of the park the first time with you. I find it gets better. Because if anything, I have the talk with my friends, and we've coined the phrase, if you fuck somebody twice, that's how they fuck. Where, like, the first time can be off, there could be, like, something, whatever. And then the second time, it's like, if it's the same, then you go, no, that's how it is. It typically doesn't change much from there. But I've found, like, once, twice, and it's moving in a different direction, then we're fine. And I've had things like build and get better, whether it was friends.
I'll agree with that with relationship sex, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
Like, if it's someone I want to date, like, if I want to date you, there's no way I'm having sex with you on the first date. There's just no, like, I want to date you.
Yeah, not that. But the first time you have sex.
I've said this to men in the past. I've said, if a woman is sleeping with you on a first date, she might not like you. And they're like, what? And I'm like, ask your girlfriends, and they blow it. Like, I mean, I know I'm right. So,
no, that's hilarious. I do have a friend that she's like won the lottery several times. She's a sleep on a first date prefers to. However, if you ask her, she literally says, "Well, here's the thing: I fuck a lot of people." Like, so she sees it as like I cast a wide net, and you know what? You're more likely to hit big if you play the lottery every day. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, you know.
Yeah,
and no shame. No shame. Do what you want to do. But
there's a few male dating influencers who are like, oh, we got to fuck on the first date. I need to know what I'm getting. And I'm like, what are you getting, sir? Like, that's kind of like, I mean, if anything, I want to know if anything, I'd like to see your penis on a first date. Let me see what I'm getting. Let me decide if this is, you know,
before we go upstairs.
And I'm not even a size queen. I'm kind of like, let me just look, you know, are there any moles I need to know about?
I also don't think that what you're getting on the first date is what you're getting, actually.
No.
For all the reasons we just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess I feel like you indirectly answered this question, because the big question people bring up with this hoe phasing versus dating intentionally is like, is it possible to be dating intentionally and hoe phase at the same time? Essentially,
I get
date
this
how
question
date.
So much, because I have women who are like, Maria, I'm 12 dating this guy, but can I still hoe phase? And I'm like, listen, my rule book is so arbitrary, it's stupid, but I think that there is a place where you can be hoe phasing with men that you don't want to date. And then you can be dating the guy that you like. And what's going to happen is, what always happens is, your third or fourth date in with someone that you think is really special, someone that you're really connecting with, everyone else drops off. That's just what happens. And
like, you won't have the desire drop off?
Yeah. You're like, you know, hoe phase who? Like, I don't know him, you know, and that's just what's going to happen. So it's funny because men hoe phase, like men have always dated in hoe phase. Like,
well, there is no hoe phase for men.
There is no hoe phase. It's just like, am I sleeping with you? Or, you know, it's like, what am I doing here? And they're not going into it like having to label it, because they are designed a little differently. Like, they judge women. Straight men judge women. Well, actually, all men judge who they're going out with, you know, straight or gay, in a very different way than women do. And I see this at work, you know, the way we set up dates, you know, it's very different depending on who the client is and depending on what gender the client is. And I think that we're not created equal in that way, in how we judge people on our first impressions.
So how does that differ when you're thinking about setting up a man versus setting up a woman?
So, in my experience of someone who has like set up more than 5,000 first dates, a man needs to be physically attracted to whoever he's meeting within the first 20 seconds of meeting them. And I'm not saying that, you know, some men have very specific requests and some men, they're way wide net, like they don't care. But if he's not attracted from the first 20 seconds, it does not matter how good that day goes. There's never going to be a second date. And then with women, I have no evidence in my entire career that women care as much about looks as they think they do. They could meet a man or a woman who, because this is the same for straight and gay men. Like, they have to be attracted, otherwise not happening. I would say the predominant majority, like over 95% of women, they could meet a man. And I'm not talking about online dating right now. I'm talking about like they meet a man out in the wild. Mm-hmm. And maybe if we put a man on a scale, like let's say 1 out of 10, I mean like 1 to 10, maybe he's like a 6. But that guy doesn't have the C factor, which is the creep factor, right? Because that's the first thing a woman judges a man on is the C factor, mm-hmm. the creep factor, right? So if he's not a creep and he asks her questions, he maybe makes her laugh, and he smiles, that 6 out of 10 is a 12 out of 10. So what's interesting is watching now women who historically have not shown physical looks as being the number one. I think security for women is number one. Seeing them online date and the way on an app that a man has designed, you know, like the original conception of an online dating app is filtering people by looks. And mm-hmm. even Bumble, which is created by women, it's still using the hot or not model, which was designed mm-hmm. by a man. And watching women judge men like this, it's like, this is anti-dating. And also, it's really funny to me to see the differences in, like, I have clients who are over 50 who they got married before online dating. They've had a long marriage. They got divorced, and now they're in the dating world again, right? They come from a place where they don't know inches. Like, they judge men as short, average, tall. Mm-hmm. But everyone who's ever done digital dating, they can tell the difference between a man who's 5'8" and 5'9". And that's really weird, because physical looks has never historically been the number one thing a woman looks for. I mean, look, if you look at, like, you know, early humans, I'm sure you could say, like, well, no, physical looks matters, physicality matters because of, like, hunting. Yeah, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, that's because of security. So a woman is judging a man on, like, am I safe with you? I don't know if this is making sense. So.
No, I think we're essentially saying that men have also agreed with you and touched upon on the show, is like, if a man is on a date with you, as long as it wasn't a completely blind date, it means he is attracted to you. Like,
if
that
a man
is
asking
word.
You on a second date, he is attracted to you. There is no fucking question. I have never
set up a
second.
But would you make the argument for a first date? That's what I'm saying. It's first date. It's like, a man sees you on the app. He thinks you're attractive. He goes out with you. Because a lot of times that's absolutely. When women ask, this is actually the second date. They go, well, I didn't get a second date. Does that mean he's not attracted to me? And any man I've asked is like, no, I wouldn't be on the first date
exactly.
if I didn't find you attractive. Exactly. So, like, that's the positive takeaway from this, from what you're saying. Right. Even though it's like, when you hear it, it sounds like, what? Am I being judged on my appearance? But if anything, I feel like this kind of segues into your theory on men should be paying for the first date.
Well, how does that segue to that? I'm just curious.
Well, it comes from, because, you know, I do a dive on your Instagram when we prep the episode, that someone essentially asked about splitting the bill, and you brought up all the things women do that make men attracted to us that essentially cost money.
Can I get on my soapbox now?
Yeah, no, go for it. I'm asking you, what's the opinion on paying for the date?
The kind of guy who's asking for 50-50 would never date a woman who's 50-50. The kind of guy that's going to ask for 50-50 on a date has very different expectations of women. Like, they're expecting women to still look good on a date. They're expecting, what are you going to bring to the table sort of conversation. And I don't think that's the purpose of a first date anyway. Like, I don't think on a first date you're supposed to, like, figure out if you're going to get married. I think the purpose of first date is to go on a second date, and that's it. But I do feel like men should be paying for first dates for a variety of reasons. The number one reason, of course, is that that is what is socially acceptable in this country. I understand that if you might have listeners in the United Kingdom or in Sweden or in Finland, it's a very different culture. But in the United States and in Canada, it is socially acceptable for a man to pay for the first date. Number two, there are a lot of men who are wasting women's time, and they're wasting the years that could be fertility years. But as far as I'm concerned right now, I don't see any men creating GoFundMes for their ex-girlfriends to pay for their fertility payments. So if I'm going to take the risk of dating you in my mid-30s, then yeah, you're going to pay for this because I might have to pay for fertility treatments. Mm. Like, this is the balance that I see. And number three, you know what? Like, I think it costs a lot to be a woman in dating. If a woman doesn't wear makeup in 2024, it's a political statement. Right. So we even like men will tell me like, oh, she should wear minimal makeup. And if I show them a photo of a woman who's not wearing any makeup, they're like, no, not this. She looks tired.
Yeah.
They don't know what minimal makeup means.
Well, this is where I agree because I'm a minimal makeup girly. I don't wear a lot, but still what I buy and spend on makeup is a good amount of money.
Right. And I don't think a lot of men understand that, like, how much it costs to maintain our attractiveness to look dateable in the very competitive market of dating.
Or even just look dateable in their eyes, I would even say. Even the guy that likes girl next door, low makeup, low this, all this low maintenance. We still have things we pay for that men do not pay for. And my theory on it is I don't have the sympathy because I'm like, this is the only part of life that is more expensive for men. Every other part of life for women is more expensive.
That is true. Even emotionally. Forget financially. Like, no, it's true.
It's funny, but it's true.
I feel, in cities where there's more straight men than straight women, you will see that women are on the scale of maintenance, a little bit lower maintenance, and the men are way better looking because they're competing against each other. So if you go to Seattle, where there's way more straight men than straight women, the men, they look really good. Compared to other straight men in other cities. And that is because they're competing for the limited resources of a great woman in their city. And if you look in cities in New York City, where there's way more straight women than straight men, women are competing. And so it's only in cities like this where the men are like, well, 50-50, because they feel like if you don't like it, maybe the next woman will. But the truth is that men know the rules. They all know the rules. They're not stupid. They know that if they want a second date, they're going to fucking pay for the bill.
Well, I think what you're touching on is more saying, if you're on a date and you want another date, you're going to be putting your best foot forward. Because from my experience, if people ask me to split the bill, and if someone asks me to split the bill, I usually just will, but we don't end up seeing each other again, whether I don't want to or I never hear from him. But that's the trend, is like, the man asking me to split the bill is the dude that has decided I don't want to see you again.
Right.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you extend this to men who accept your offer to split it?
Like,
Well, sure. But let's say that somebody proactively does.
No, I don't. If you offer and he accepts, you cannot get mad.
Agreed.
And he might still want to see you again. Because the moment you offer it, it's kind of like, look,
it becomes a game, I think.
Men are dating in a post Me Too world, and some good men, they don't want to offend you. So if they think you're offering sincerely, they might take you up on an offer as a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I really don't think you should offer unless you genuinely mean it. I often do offer and I genuinely mean it, and I won't judge them if they say yes.
Right. You can't get
mad. But there are people who do. There are people who throw out the offer as a test. And I'm like, you can't. That's so shady.
That becomes
a game. I tell you, I'll express I used to do this when I was single, and I certainly did this with my husband. And when I met my husband, I was making way more money than him because he was like in academia. Dating finances is a conversation you should have. Mm. And it's okay to get ahead of it, right? And you could say, like, a practice that I would do if you want to, like, you know, be balanced or maybe even, or, you know, show your gratitude. And it's okay if someone listening disagrees with me, but this is just what's worked for me, is that the man that I date should always pay for any drinks or dinners that we have together. But I'm going to pay for all of our experiences. So it gets like, you can get really creative dating this way, and it all balances out.
I had a question, because you also dated your husband long distance for a long time. And I've had people do, hey, you're going to pay to fly to come to my city. So when you come to my city, it's my tab. I'm taking us out. I'm paying for dinner, blah, blah, blah. But you don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Interesting. Okay.
Long distance, you're just going to you both have to eat the cost of traveling, but you can't expect the other person to. I think, I'm really speaking heteronormatively, and I really apologize for not being as inclusive in this conversation to people listening. But I feel like I kind of like that model because I think men appreciate the gesture. And the gesture is creative dating. So for instance, hey, you got dinner tonight. How about I get us tickets for trivia night on Thursday? He's still getting the beers at trivia night, but I got the tickets for trivia night, you know, or hey, you know, yeah, like, hey, let's grab dinner. And then right after that, let's go to the comedy club. I'll get the tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. I love that.
Like this is so like you can have a place where you're contributing to dating, but he's still taking you out. He's still putting the card down for the day-to-day dates, let's say. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah. I don't know how you feel about this, but if I was to take a guess, you have the mentality of when you marry someone, what's mine is yours, and you're going to be combining things.
That's
and I
true.
Think a lot of people that have this man pays for the date or expect the men to always pay for the dates, that's the mentality that's behind it, is like, well, if we end up together, because you should see dating as an investment and getting to know me, I'm getting to know you. Mm-hmm. Then at the end of the day, this whole who pays for what, quote, doesn't matter. Because if it's all going to the same place, if we really join a union together, then who cares that you put the card down or I put the card down if one day we will be combining finances in some way? Let me say that.
Yeah. 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 And I'm a big fan of doing that. But you need to learn, like we talked about, having those difficult conversations about sex, difficult conversations about finance to make sure that, you know, you don't have financial fidelity, financial abuse, all that stuff. You know, getting into the practice of being able to talk about the dates you're going on and, you know, what you're spending. Like, these are not shameful conversations to have. But yeah, ultimately, you know, you have to get into the mindset. And I think that mindset happens about 6 months into a relationship where you kind of start having, especially if you're over 30, where you start having conversation of like, all right, let's lay it all on the table. Are we going down the aisle? Like, okay, so let's start thinking about that. Like, I'm not saying you combine your finances in 6 months, please.
Most people do it after they get engaged.
Yeah, but you start thinking as a team. Like, I think any relationship that's leading to marriage and a healthy marriage, it's a team effort. Like, I side-eye people who are like, oh my God, he surprised me with an engagement. I'm like, how can you be surprised? Like, you should be talking about this every fucking week if you're in a serious relationship because, you know, a wedding is a merger and acquisition. That's what it is. A marriage is a merger, and you, just like the shareholders of any corporation, are going to have conversations and they're going to have legal. It's the same thing. Before you accept that ring, there better have been some conversations about the kind of future you plan to have.
I saw recently, it was definitely on social media because that's where I see everything these days, but I saw recently somebody say an engagement should never be a surprise, but a proposal could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the proposal, cool.
That's like, nice.
I love the idea of like something cool that I'm not expecting for a proposal, but I shouldn't be surprised that you did it.
Can I tell you something? As someone who gets text messages every day of people's proposals, like my phone is just riddled with people's engagement rings.
It's so fun.
I don't have a photo of my own proposal because my husband told the person that had the camera or the whatever to take the photo when he was proposed. You know, I'm going to propose today. And this bitch went to the bathroom.
Oh, and no.
I have no photos of my proposal. And I can't tell you how much it bothers me. I've had to learn to get over never getting over it.
This is so funny because when my brother was proposing, my sister and I were on him for like, you need to have someone that takes a picture or films it when it happens. And he's like, why? And I'm like, it's just a thing. She'll want to have it. Like, make it happen. He was going to some, you know, restaurant or stop for dessert on the way home. And I was like, find someone young, first of all, that knows how to work an iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have them do it on your phone, their phone, whatever. But someone who's not going to panic with technology and just can take a basic photo.
No bathroom breaks.
It's just nice to have. Oh, my God. Yeah. Also that, please.
I can't get over it. Like, I could not get over it. And so now it's been 11 years. No, how long has it been? It's been 9 years. I've only recently gotten over never getting over it.
It's just something it's going to sit with you forever, and that's okay.
I've just gotten over that I'm never going to get over it, which is actually the phrase that I use for when tall women say, like, you know, Maria, we're the same height. I can't get over it. And I'm like, you're just going to have to get over never getting over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's my advice. Yeah. Listen, I'm tall like you guys. I dated when I was single men that were 5'9", 5'10". My husband, he says he's 6 feet, but I know he's 5'11 and a half, and I'm 5'11". He's got that pinky distance. He's got a centimeter on me. But, you know, I remember telling a woman I met in December at my holiday party. She was, I think, 5'7" and her boyfriend was 5'8". Her fiance was 5'8". And she's like, I just can't get over that he's 5'8". And I'm like, why don't you get over never getting over it? And she's like, holy shit, that was the best. And I was like, good.
I think to wrap up, we want to do kind of like some rapid fire Matchmaker Maria Ask a Matchmaker Wednesday questions. If
you get questions,
you have some time. We did. We got a handful of short ones.
How important is a matching level of education and or intelligence?
I thought these were going to be quick questions.
I guess that's not quick.
You could just say not very or very.
I think what's more important is a shared sense of humor and an identical moral compass. Hmm.
You did it quick.
You can skirt around the education.
Here's a quick, easy one, I think. How often do you see friends with benefits turn into love?
I've never seen it.
Me either. Ever. All right.
Literally never.
I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
I've only seen it in a movie, which means not real. So
it's dating lore.
Ugh. Yeah, no, not real at all. What's the difference between settling and compromising?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I don't believe in settling. I believe in communicating what your expectations are, them communicating to you what their expectations are, and then figuring out a relationship between the shared expectations.
So like, what are your thoughts if someone says the advice, you shouldn't settle? What aspects do you agree?
I reject the premise. I don't know what that means.
Oh, nothing. Okay.
I reject it.
I think what they're trying to get at is like, what's a trait someone has that you should be willing to compromise and like, that's okay versus you feel like you are settling for, or is, quote, something you're settling for?
I think the person saying that to you has no patience to listen to your dating problems. So they're saying that kind of advice. But I don't, like, you can look, there are some matchmakers and coaches out there who say stuff like, you can have only 3 deal breakers and everything else has to be like nice to have. That's okay. I mean, I don't have that under my philosophy. Personally, I think that ultimately, I think long-term compatibility really does rest on your emotional compatibility with the person that you're with. Deciding to be with someone for the next 30 or 40 years of your life, it's a big commitment, and you have to learn to like each other, and you have to communicate what you like, what you want to do, how you want to spend your weekends, how you spend money. Like, there's a lot of conversations there, and I don't believe in I think settling is a very easy, I don't ever think about this because every time someone asks me this question on Ask a Matchmaker, I always ignore it because look at what's happening right now. I'm like twisting myself in a pretzel trying to just say like, I reject the premise of the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fine. I appreciate it. It's a new take. I haven't heard that
yet. Yeah.
How about this? I feel resistant about the 12 date rule because of how to navigate it when you have a high libido.
You can masturbate before dates. You can masturbate after dates. Mm-hmm. I've always thought the 12 date rule as like P to V penetration or just like sex, whatever, you know, everyone has definitions of sex depending on what you know, how you identify sexually and all that stuff too. But you know, they can eat you out, I guess. I don't know.
The high libido has an exception to the rule.
It's 2.5 weeks to 3 weeks.
I was about to say it's 3 weeks.
Like just
get a grip.
Get a vibrator. Like,
wait, I have a question about that.
Okay.
Have you ever had masturbating before a date backfire? Because if it's not quote unquote successful, then you're like more on edge than you would have been if you just left it alone.
I've never had that question asked. So for those listening, one of my favorite dating tips is to tell people to masturbate before they go on dates. Mm. I've never heard that backfire, but now I'll be thinking about that a lot. You have that backfired so for you?
That is such a funny backfire.
I'm so sorry. It literally just happened.
Have you?
It literally
just happened. I can help you with this. You should be watching Owen Gray before you go on dates.
What's Owen Gray?
That's a porn star, Allie.
When
you first see him, you're going to be like, this man is ugly. What is Maria saying? But that man, that alphabet leg man, he knows how to fuck. And he knows what to do. It's all female gaze. And I think if you watch him before a date, it'll just have you like, yes.
Like, I think she might like Manuel Ferrara a little better. He also is very similar. He's the right, no, but he's the right combo of like sweet but aggressive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like he fucks the way women like want somebody to fuck typically. Owen might be a little aggressive. I don't know if that's
feel like
fully Ali's vibe.
If anyone is still listening to this episode, and you are if you are an alphabet leg man, I want you to send the alphabet to Erica and Ali to let them know we are alphabet leg fans.
The ABC emoji.
He has the ABCs tattooed on his leg.
Got it.
He's so ugly, by the way, that he becomes hot. He's like got Ed Sheeran disease. You know, like these guys that are like so ugly, they become cute again. He's hot.
Everybody has their person. Like people are saying Jeremy Allen White is that. Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy Allen White is another one. You know. Sacha Baron Cohen. That's funny.
Well, it's just funny because Ali bringing that up, I thought she was going to go a different direction, which is, I think, the male version of failing, which is if you masturbate before a date, you now don't have the motivation to go on the date. But the female version, I guess, is if you don't finish, now you're too revved up.
I've never thought of men about this, but I do know a lot of men masturbate before dates. Like they DM me this all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, believe
okay,
that,
cool.
But yeah. I've heard it could kill the motivation. Which maybe those aren't men we want to date then.
I'm glad that we ended up on this conversation because that literally it just happened to me a week ago, and it was really
so you
annoying.
Were on edge on the date.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh man, that's rough. Did it's you guys a end lot up having harder. Sex?
No.
Were you like rubbing around like the chair or something?
I just was like so annoyed because I was like, I actually was so we had booked this recording, right? And I was actually I haven't, maybe not never, but this is one of the first times that I have tried this. I'm getting to the end where I say this is your fault, Maria. But this is one of the first times that I had tried this advice. And I was like, all right, I'm going to report back to Maria when we talk to her on Monday. And then on my way to the date, I was like, fuck this.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I failed you. I'm so sorry.
So, but it was a good date. The listeners heard about it earlier in the episode. So it was a good first date.
I can't wait to see people talk to you about Owen Gray. What other questions did you guys get on the Ask a Matchmaker stuff?
Okay. Someone asked, do you still endorse going to a new city for better dating prospects?
I don't think I've ever. I mean, I'll tell
I
people.
I think they're confusing. You said to increase your mile radius. Like if you're in New York City, go to Long Island, go to Jersey, right? Yeah. Westchester, like an hour away.
Erica is the Ask a Matchmaker whisperer over here.
I follow you. I see it.
Yeah.
I read it.
Because everyone's like, my city sucks. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. You're just seeing the same people. Your third space sucks. I totally say increase the radius. It's kind of like how I met my husband too. Like I remember reaching out to two guy friends that I really admired and respected. And I was like, I bet they have friends that I can date. And I didn't ask them to set me up because I don't think that works. I said instead, next time you're out with your friends, please invite me. And one of them a week later was like, I'm going out with friends on Friday. And I'm like, great. And he's like, in Boston. And I'm like, okay. Oh. And I went on Amtrak and I was like, off I go. And, you know, I didn't say to him, I said New York. I never said that. I was just like, next time you're with your friends. And I went there and I met nine of his friends. Five of them were there with their girlfriends. Four of them were single. One of them would end up being my husband who proposed to me while our friend was in the bathroom.
Well, there you go. Are you saying set up directly doesn't work if you're asking men?
Yeah, I think I mean anytime you ask a guy like, hey, set me up with one of your friends, their almost immediate reaction is like, oh, all my friends are jerks, or all my friends are idiots, or I don't know any friends. And I'm like, I didn't ask you that. Like, I'll meet your married friends, maybe they have friends.
I'll decide.
It's funny because I remember when I met George, the person who introduced us was so, I remember his facial reactions that weekend because we had done like a lot of things that weekend, and he was always looking at George like, wow, you got Maria? Like, are you, because my husband's like the shyest introvert lab rat. Like, he fucking scored, dude. You know, like, wow, like, good for him. And like, I don't think Banos, the person who introduced us, like, I don't think it ever crossed his mind that my husband could bag an awesome chick like me. And it was, so if I had asked him, like, set me up with someone, he would have never thought of my husband. It would have never crossed his mind. He would have thought, you know, Maria's gonna think this guy is, I don't know. I think only the best things about him, but.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like when people go, oh, they're shy and quiet. So they think they need another shy and quiet. Like someone that's bold and louder, like they're like, that might scare them or something. You know what I mean? Like, not saying that's right, but I think sometimes that's what people think, you know?
Yeah. I think they also see, I think this is also like another one of my no-nos. They see like I'm a business owner, right? And I think some people say stuff like, well, she's entrepreneurial, so she needs to be someone who's entrepreneurial, which actually I don't believe that. I think if you own a business, the best people you should be dating are people with stable careers who have great health insurance, because you need an anchor. Your baby, your business is always going to be your baby. And I don't want your baby to ever compete with your spouse's baby. Because that, you know what happens is the man's baby always takes precedence when there's two business owners.
Oh, that's fine.
That's been my, that's what I've seen whenever it's two business owners together. And I'm like,
yeah. Or like the fluctuations of being a business owner. And it's like, if you're both fluctuating all the time, like that, yeah, it would be really difficult.
It's way too much. I'm like, I can't, I like my husband's health insurance. We got married 6 months earlier in City Hall just so I could get his health insurance before we had our big fat Greek wedding in Athens.
That's common. Yeah. I was going to say Barbara Corcoran. I'm a huge Shark Tank fan and I love her. She says the same thing, because her point is, she said, whatever the business is does become your spouse's business too, even if they don't work in it. In the sense of like, it becomes most important, or like it's the least flexible position.
I feel like my husband's my chief marketing officer, not only of me, but like of my business. Like he won't shut up about me. And that's what I want. That's the energy I need. I'm not going to talk about your business. What? Get out of here.
I love that.
All right. Here's another short one. What to do when guys get sexual too soon? Now, I feel like we could break this in two different ways. Let's say it's a dating app. Their opening message, too sexual too soon. What's your advice?
If you were looking on the app to date for a relationship, you should unmatch them. Like, no explanation needed. That person's not dating for a relationship. They've disrespected you. And just pretend for a second that you were Anya Taylor-Joy, right? A beautiful, accomplished woman. And most people listening, they are beautiful, accomplished women. I'm sure of it. Okay. There is no man on the fucking face of this planet that would be like, Anya, you want to see my dick? To get on a first date with her. They would be rolling out the red carpet. They'd be like, how can I court you? And like, that's kind of, you have to pretend that you're an A-list celebrity when you're dating, and that like, no one would ever, if someone wanted to go on a date with Angelina Jolie, if someone wanted to go on a date with Viola Davis, which, side note, she has like the most incredible marriage story. She prayed for her man. I love it. If you wanted to date someone.
Manifested.
Yeah, she manifested that. I mean, she says it. So if you wanted to date someone who was like, yeah, you know, like you would never be like, I wish you were here so we could cuddle together. I'm like, I don't even know you, dude. I just know you through Hinge.
I like that you said that example, because I feel like the debate here, especially with online dating, is like sometimes you'll get a message that goes, hey, I think you're really beautiful, and then asks you a question about something else. And a lot of women,
I think that's fine.
A lot of women, right. But a lot of women will immediately go, ooh, I don't like this. Commenting on my looks. Too sexual too soon. And then so the debate becomes, where's the line? But I like that it's like, obviously the extreme, want to see my dick. Clear no. Clear no.
Obviously no. There are lines. Hold on a second. You know, so here's the line. If he comes at you with a, hey, beautiful. But I also don't, I don't know if how you both feel about this, but I personally don't believe in the ick. I believe that everyone just sucks at dating and you just need to get out. out as quick as possible, and find, when you're on any date, find two things that you liked about them. It's so much easier to talk about icks. It's a lot harder to find two things that you like about them. But if you can just refocus dating like that, you'll be in a relationship a lot quicker than you think. People are so quick to dismiss people over nonsense, and that's a really tough place to be in.
So it's like icks are meant to be broken.
Yes.
I mean,
my husband walks like a penguin. And I'm sure some women might have been icked out by that, I suppose, because he like legit. I mean, we call ourselves Team Penguin because this man waddles. But well, I guess it's a feature.
Yeah. There's like a line that the question's like, where do you have the line if someone essentially comments on your appearance in some way? Because like someone saying like, I think you're attractive. I liked your photos. I think you have a nice smile. And for me, my rule is If it then moves to not talking about my appearance, then right. we're good. Yeah, I'll accept it as back. The first one. Right. I don't love it. I'm not like, yes, message me that I'm beautiful. It feels a little weird. It feels a little icky. Right. But
I
like,
kinda like it.
But there's something to, I'm like, if you think benefit of the doubt, they're sitting there trying to craft a nice message. And I've found a trend, men that are older, 40s, are the ones that tend to do that. And I'm like, dating rules perhaps were a little different.
They come
for them
from a, you know, yeah, Gen X has a different dating history, I think. And they have different norms. But yeah, no, I think what you just said is right on target.
Yeah. I've had it be where like they'll come out and say, like, oh, I thought your pictures were really beautiful or something. And then they'll ask me a question. And then they'll be like, yeah, so you in that red dress. I'm like, oh, nope.
Yeah. That's when you're like, damn it. Please stop. Yeah.
I would have, yeah, you're like, I gave you benefit of the doubt. Replied that, yeah. Hold on a second. I don't, if you have a photo of yourself with a red dress on your profile.
I do, but it's like after we've already been talking about something else, they'll come back to it.
I would have pivoted that though. See, like, I don't think of that as so bad. Because if you have it on your profile, you should be ready to get commented on. So if it's a trick, get rid of the game. And instead,
oh, no, it's not.
Right. And so instead I would pivot. If you talked about the red dress, I would pivot like, yeah, I took that photo at the Yellowstone benefit. Have you ever been? Do you participate in any other volunteering things? Like, pivot the call to action to something that like you want to talk about that talks about like their interests, their values, their hobbies.
I guess my question is, how many times should I be making someone do the pivot? Because that's where I get annoyed.
Like, I've already done it once. They came in with the physical thing. I did the pivot the one time. We moved off of physical and now they're back to the red dress.
Yeah, I would just unmatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to find this, it just keeps going.
I don't know if you need to apologize. I'm kind of like, okay, like, I see what you're doing. They know what they're doing.
They definitely
know
what
they're
doing.
All right, this isn't going to work for you. The only way you're going to learn is if I stop you.
All right, well, thanks again for coming on, Maria. We have such a great time with you, as always. And anyone, especially, we have predominantly female listeners. First of all, go join Matchmakerita's database, all right? She might have a match for you.
Yes.
You can head to her Instagram, find the link, or the company's called agapematch.com. And she also has a podcast called Ask a Matchmaker that you guys can listen to too.
Yeah. And it's free to join my database too for women.
It is free. So
yeah, I love it.
Send it to every gal you know. Get on there.
You both are really wonderful. These were really, really great questions. So thank you so much for having me.
I had so much fun. Thank you. And I will keep you posted on my journey towards successfully masturbating before date.
Alphabet Leg Man. He will help you. He will help you.
I'm on it.
Trust in Owen. And Owen, we trust.
Okay.
And Owen, we trust. All right.
Well, I trust you.
Everybody try masturbating before a date. DM us. Let us know how it goes. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.